Everyone is looking for love. And they're desperate to find it. We must show them love. We must introduce them to love, to Jesus. To Jesus. For this is true revival. Love is all they need. Everlasting love. Rise up and go and show them love, revival love, supernatural love. Jesus is love.
Have you been anxious or really stressed out over issues in life and maybe circumstances that you are facing right now? Well, if you're in that state, you have come to watch the greatest show ever for you. Because I believe that by the time you finish this program, all that stress, all that anxiety, all the care for tomorrow is going to lift off of you. And you might even find yourself laughing. You know why? All of heaven is laughing. This message that I'm about to share with you, I actually preached at Women on the Front Lines. We actually host Women on the Front Lines conferences all over the world, so you can go on our website to find when the next one is. But I think that you're going to really be encouraged. You're going to be really lifted up through this message. We'll see you later.
I want to share a testimony of something that happened to me back in 1994. It was January 1994. And prior to that time, I was a very, very passionate Christian. I had been ever since I was born again. But I was an extremely intense intercessor. It was extremely intense. And I felt it was my duty in God to make sure that the evils of the world were brought into a place where they could not function, could not manifest, and that God's glory would stand, you know, which is a good thing, excepting when you're so focused by, I'll fast more, I'll do some more fasting, I'll do some more prayer, I'll do some more decrees, I'll do some more warfare. I'm going to go to class and learn 16 more weapons of intercession so that I can really go for it. And you're consumed in the battle. It takes your joy away. And all of a sudden, instead of enjoying life, I'm only just seeing how bad things are. Because after all, I'm an intercessor. I'm an intercessor and I got to see how bad things are. And so I lived in that realm, and what was so difficult for me is I'd feel burdens all the time. People say, oh, you look so heavy-hearted. I said, I am. I'm carrying the burden. And I called it the burden of the Lord. I called it the burden of the Lord. So I show up in a revival meeting in Florida. And the revivalist, he came during the worship. He stood up on the platform and he said, in this section over here, there's a wind that's going to come in a few moments. The wind's going to come. And this section is going to get touched by the Holy Spirit. And I thought, wow, a wind's going to come. That's very interesting. I wonder what he means by that. I wonder what that symbolically means. But in a few moments, the wind came. The wind came. Like a real wind, like, and it blew on the section, and we were all crashed down in our seats. Oh, I was a happy camper. I tell you, I was on the floor. I thought, this is amazing. That was actually a real wind, you know? And you could feel the presence of God. It was just, it was perplexing but glorious. I start laughing uncontrollably and loud. I've got a very loud voice, and I was laughing uncontrollably and involuntarily. And I was embarrassed. In my mind, I thought, I don't want to be laughing. I'm totally embarrassed. This is church. We're in church, and I'm laughing. I don't even know what I'm laughing about. But when I thought of how ludicrous that sounded, I laughed even more. And I just couldn't stop. I was just, you know. And so in my heart, I said, God, what is this? What is going on? Like, I don't feel a devil's got me or anything. It's like, what is this? And in his kindness, he is so kind, he took me in a encounter. I don't know if you want to call it transvision. It was like being inside of the situation. I could see things, smell things, hear things. You know, it was like a living realm. But in that realm, I was sovereignly taken up into the heavenlies, and I heard audibly heaven laughing. It was like multitudes of voices laughing, as though someone had told a joke at a party that everybody heard, and everybody laughed in response. It was like that, except I didn't know what the joke was. I was offended. How can you possibly be offended when you're in the glory? I was offended because heaven was happy. I mean, after all, I'm carrying a lot of weight. I'm just being open and vulnerable. You're commanded to love me, so you can't judge me, right? That would put you in a bad place. And I am perplexed by all this laughter. It was like they were having this big party. And I remember thinking, do you not understand what we are dealing with on planet Earth? Do you not understand that people are aborting their children right now? And the homosexuals are trying to pass bills to make it okay. Do you not understand? And you're just having a party? I thought you were here to help us. I mean, that was the feeling, the sense that was in my mind. I had been so burdened down by all these prayer meetings that I was fasting and praying for, the immorality. There was 3 pastors that year that committed adultery, lost their churches, the churches split, they lost their family. Oh, it was horrible. One ran off with the other woman, married her. It was just like, oh my gosh, do you not understand this heaven? We've got problems down here. But heaven just kept laughing. Heaven just kept laughing. And so he took me into this visionary encounter. And he showed me this altar in heaven that was just a blazing fire. And angels were flying up from the earth with these coals, and they would put them on this altar. And when they were in this fiery altar, they got enlarged like these great big fireballs, these coals of fire. And then other angels would come and take them out of the fire and fly back down into the earth. And I saw the globe, this huge globe, and there was dark patches all over it. And the angels would take the fireballs and they would throw them against the black patches. And when the fireballs hit the black patches, I could hear demons screaming, and I could see a dispersion of the strongholds of the enemy, and then all of heaven would laugh. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, the angels come with a prayer request, and when they come up in this glory, the answers are sent with power and intensity to demolish the strongholds of the enemy. That's why we laugh every time there's a victory, every time there's a victory in the earth, every time heaven sees the victory that Christ came to establish manifest in the earth, they laugh. And he took me into other encounters in heaven, and he said to me, he said, we are not anxious about anything. You will not find anxiety in this atmosphere. He said, we live in the reality of the truth. We live in the finished work of Christ. There is nothing to be anxious about. And he said, as it is in heaven, I want it to be in the earth. As it is in this realm, I want it to be in the realm of your heart, in the realm of your mind, in the realm of your life.
In the Zone by Patricia King is a powerful book full of principles and ideas to get you out of normal living and into the blessing zone. Order In the Zone for only $20 plus shipping, and you will also receive Patricia's Decree CD. Decree a thing and it shall be established. Call 866-980-5464. Ask for television offer 323. Go online at patriciaking.com or text the word BLESSED 42828. Order now.
One of our greatest events of the year is Women on the Front Lines Extreme.
When you see something that needs change, will you be possessed with my love? The kingdom I'm from cannot be shaken.
Ambassadors of hope of this generation.
You are the answer to the groaning of creation. But he says, I want you to live in the earth in the same way as the atmosphere is in heaven. And he says, in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of seriousness. No. He said, there's fullness of joy in the presence of the Lord. And he says, there is nothing too difficult for me. And everything that you see in the earth that is an adversity, everything that you see in the earth that is difficult, everything that you see in the earth that is hard, that's supposed to make you laugh. The reason it's supposed to make you laugh is because I'm bigger than it all. I am the solution. And I died to bring the victory for it, to bring it into alignment, and it will come because it's not over until it's over. So it's a given. It is a given that all things are going to come into God's alignment. That is what heaven lives in, that reality. The earth is not perfect, and there is going to be worse things happen in the earth than what mankind has ever seen. The Bible says that. If the Bible says this, it's true, but you have to read the right mail. Because on the other side of it, it says that we are to arise and shine because our light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. And there is half of a verse in Isaiah 60, half of a verse out of the entire chapter that says darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness the people. It is important to understand that, but it shouldn't be all consuming. What should consume believers is the environment of heaven that we get to bring into the earth. Now, we have to know there's darkness because we're supposed to expel it. But that's why heaven's laughing. That's what's supposed to be fun. So I was all confused. It was all serious for me. You got to watch it because, you know, this is happening, that's happening. And, you know, and then you read in the Bible things like the judgments of God. And we think, ooh, what are the judgments of God? Is God going to come and beat me up? Is he going to come and destroy this in my life? Is he going to destroy that? Is he going to ruin that? God is a good God. And he judges for us, not against us. You understand that? His judgments are awesome. No Christian should be afraid of the judgments of God. He's going to judge systems that are keeping people from coming to know him. And if you are in those systems, if you are in the midst of ungodly systems and they crash, you'll be delivered out of them. And that should make you happy. Amen? Unless you love the system, then it'll be an owie. Amen? Do you understand what I'm saying here? Some of my darkest hours in the natural, we all have them. Jesus said, in the world, you'll have tribulation. So in this system and in this realm, there are difficulties. But he said, be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. So we don't live in the trouble. We live in the solution. We live in the goodness of God. And so when you're going through a dark place, a difficult place, a challenging place, it should stir joy on the inside of you. Why? Because there's treasures in that place that you can find no other place. I went through a few years of really, really troublesome times in my soul. It was hurtful times, heavy times. I didn't understand all that I was going through. But there was only one place to go in the midst. One place. The only thing I could do was spend myself on him, because there was no place other than him to go. He was the only place I could find peace. He was the only place I could breathe. Do you understand what a blessing that is? I would have never known the greatness of God the way I do now. I would have never known how good he is to soothe the emotions, to comfort the soul. I would have never even known him as the comforter if I hadn't been in that place. I would have never known him as the gracious God in the extent that I know him now, unless I'd been in that place, because he allowed me to walk through the darkness in his love and in his kindness to bring more glory for me in the end. I refuse to think of anything except the glory for the end times. I refuse. They say, oh, don't you understand? This is going to crash. That's going to crash. Well, if God wants it to crash, let it crash, because that just means it's going to release us into more glory. Amen? You see, we've got to be delivered out of this natural mentality. We have to be delivered out of a carnality of mindset into an eternal mindset where we start thinking heavenly dimensional stuff. Jesus lived in difficult times, difficult political times, difficult economic times. But was he worried? He was happy. I love the picture of the laughing Jesus. I love it. Because I think that's what he was like. Just everywhere he went, if the sick were there, he healed them. If the bound were there, he delivered them. If the dead were there, he raised them. If the hungry were there, he fed them. Because he had this connection into the heavenlies. He didn't live as a normal human being. He didn't allow his mind to be filled with anxiety. He had no fear. And yet he was fully human. He felt human emotions. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he could feel in his body the pressure of what was around him. He said, Lord, Father, I love this cup of suffering to be taken from me, but not my will, but your will. And when he understood fully the will of God, he just leaned into the will of God, and the grace came forth. I don't think that he was on that cross saying, oh, I'm so anxious about what's ahead. It says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. All of heaven is laughing. God sits in the heavens and he laughs. The enemy has a plan right now. Oh, I'm going to put the nations in a turmoil. And I'm going to come against the anointed of God. I'm going to come against the church. I'm going to come against, you know, believers. And I'm going to just slap right in their face, you know, issues that they're going to hate. And it's like, nah, 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 nah. He does that. That's what it says in Psalm 2. The enemy's out there, you know, striving against the Lord and his anointed, trying to bug us. And the Lord's response to that was, I'm just laughing. What is so weird about this guy? It's laughable. Because he knows the victory has already been won. He knows that all the benefit is on the kingdom side. It is impossible, impossible, impossible for us to be defeated, because our God is in heaven and he is laughing, and he will have the opposers in derision. And if it takes a while, if it takes a while for that to happen, you say, well, you know, I've been in this, you know, I've been seeing the enemy's hand won, and it seems to be getting worse. That's just because he wants us to have another victory. You know, he's just saying back, okay, is that the best you can do? Okay, is that the best you can do? Okay, got anything left? Because as soon as you've done it all, I'm going to give it mine. And everything will be demolished. Now, I'm not minimizing the weight of some of the things that are going on. And I'm not minimizing the sadness of that. But you can't live in the sadness. You have to live in the victory. You're not going to win by being the tail. You're going to win by being the head. And you've been seated in the heavenly places in Christ. You are at the right hand of the Father in Christ. And all principalities and all powers, all works of iniquity are under his feet, which are your feet. You have nothing to fear. You have everything to rejoice over.
In Christ Jesus, you are more than a conqueror. And whatever you're facing, if you stay true to him, to his word, to his promises, you will be led in victory. In fact, you are called to live in a realm of blessing. You're called to live in the realm of his goodness. You were created for that. You know, God said right in his word, right when he created us, he said, he created man in his image and likeness, and then he blessed them, said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. It did not say that mankind was cursed. It was mankind was blessed. So in Christ Jesus, who has taken care of all of our sin issues and everything, in him, we are blessed and we are victors. We are more than triumphant. Now, when you really believe that in the core of your being, you have a lot to rejoice over. You have a lot to get happy about. Because you are called to live in the blessing zone. You are called to live in the goodness of God all the time. Therefore, you, as a Christian, should be the happiest person on the face of the earth. Now, maybe you're watching this program right now and you don't know Jesus as your Savior yet. Maybe you don't know the joy that is in his presence and the joy that can fill your heart right now as he makes you a brand new creation in him. All you have to do is say, Jesus, would you come into my heart? Would you forgive me of all my sin? Would you be my God? Would you be my Savior? And if you invite him in with a sincere desire, he will come in. And what happens is you're given a brand new life in him where he is your God and you are his child and a new life begins. And so pray that prayer just from your heart, whatever way you want to say it, as long as it's just sincere, and he will come in and you will have that miracle of salvation come into your life. I'm so excited for all of you that are watching this program because you've been given keys today, keys for victory, keys to live a joyful life. And no matter what circumstance that you are facing, you can lay hold of his joy, lay hold of the victory because he is who he says he is and he'll do what he says he'll do. Remember this above all else, that God loves you with an everlasting love. He really, really does. And we'll see you next time. No matter what you are facing right now, even if your circumstance seems absolutely horrific and it looks like it's unto complete destruction, God has a plan of victory for you. And his outcome will be good if you just hold on to him, walk closely with him, you'll see that there'll be good things that come out of it. You know, the scripture says that when we walk through darkness, that there are actual treasures that we can glean out of that darkness. And so God has only good for you in that if you will believe. Women on the Front Lines is one of my most favorite events that we host and that I get to minister in. And this message that you're going to hear today is from that event. You're going to enjoy it because it will strengthen you. It will fortify your faith and it's going to align your thinking so that you will believe God for your victory. I even believe that before the end of this program is out, you will receive a miracle shift in your life unto the goodness of God. Enjoy the message and we'll see you later.
When you get into a negative framework, when I get into a negative framework, when I do, I find that it creates an atmosphere of defeat. What you believe creates realms and atmosphere, so it's very important that you believe the truth. And if I allow things to sow anxiety into my soul, I create a negative environment, and then I have to live in the environment I created. But if you choose to believe the truth will set you free and you will live inside that realm of light and life. All things are possible, only believe. It's already happened in heaven. There's a convergence between the heaven and the earth right now. You see, we're not in the earth saying, oh God, please come, please come, please come. Oh God, please come. He said, I came. I came already. It is finished. It is done. I came, and my authority is from the deepest parts of hell to the highest heaven. It's all been given to Jesus Christ, and He raised us up with Him. The Bible says so. It's really, really clear that we've been raised up with Him and in Him, and we are seated in the heavenly places in Christ. And that's not for the sweet by and by. That is for right now. We rule and reign the earth with Christ. And when you look from that perspective, when you see through that perspective, then it makes life easy. So when you see some adversity coming your way, and it will, ascend in your perspective to what Christ has already finished and live from that place and create an atmosphere, a portal of light and life and victory in your world, and it'll spread all around you and have a ripple effect to the nations, and nations are going to bow their knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Walk with God. When you are in God, everything works together for good. Do you know that there was a famine in Abraham's day, but it didn't touch him? There's a famine in his day. He's following God out into the wilderness. God says, leave all your family, Abraham, and come follow me. And Abraham never asked questions. He just said, yes, God. And he left to follow God, and God leads him out into a wilderness where there's a famine. But he had an answer, and he leads him down into Egypt. Leads him into Egypt so that the famine wouldn't touch Abraham. God's got a solution all the time. He has solutions. Now, Abraham, see, when you're a covenant person, even your mistakes work together for good. Abraham made a little mistake, a little half lie. Because of fear. The moment you get into fear or anxiety, you'll make mistakes. But remember this, God is bigger than your mistakes. He is so good. You can't even make mistakes and fail when you love Him. So Abraham, you know, he made a mistake with Sarah and wouldn't claim her as his wife, and so got a little bit complicated. But God stepped in, and so Abraham, he prospers in Egypt, because not only does he get Sarah back, but he gets a lot of loot. So did he experience the famine? No. Did Elijah experience the famine? He actually created it through the prophetic word he brought, but it didn't affect him. And he went and helped the widow at Zarephath live in the supernatural dimension because he knew how to live in that dimension. He knew how to work with multiplication and get whatever you needed through God. He knew how to do that because he was close to God. He was living in that God realm. Are you? He didn't fear at that point. I think it's amazing when you read through the Bible and you see the faithfulness of God through every generation. And when the hard times came, it was only for the purpose of seeing God's goodness. So you don't have to be afraid of hard times. When you see a hard time come, you think, hallelujah. I smell a testimony coming on. I'm going to get so close to God in this. I remember years ago, we were just new Christians even, and my husband came home and he said, wow, they just laid off all of us. All of us. The whole department just got laid off, and it was 3 weeks before Christmas. And you know, back in those days, as a young married couple, we were living from paycheck to paycheck pretty much. And the spirit of faith rose up on the inside of me, and I said, praise the Lord. It's awesome. He said, what do you mean awesome? I said, well, obviously God has a plan, and it's going to be fun to discover it. It's going to be fun to discover the plan. And you know, we went through Christmas. We had all of our needs met and more. It's like we just entered into that supernatural dimension. It's available to us. I was just this last December, I prepare to get my prayer time in every year. Every December, I don't do any itinerant ministry. I lock myself into a place with God, and I just like to just be with Him for the whole month. And so December the 1st came along, and I had this stack of work to do. And I thought, I'm just going to work on this, get all this finished off my plate, and then I'm going to focus on the Lord. And so I worked and worked and worked all day, December the 1st, the first day of my consecrated time unto the Lord. I'm working, working, working to get rid of the pile of work so that I can have time with the Lord. And the thing is, the mountain didn't move. In fact, when I started working on that mound of work, every little thing I worked on produced more work. I would send out 10 emails on something to try to settle an issue, and 15 would come back with more things to fix. And so by the second day, I had a double mountain to speak to. And it just kept going like that. I couldn't get rid of the mountain. And so by day number 7, I was anxious. I was so anxious. I said, oh God, a whole week's gone by. It's my prayer time, and I haven't had any concentrated time with you. I wanted to have hours with you. I wanted to get into the glory. I wanted to stay there. I just wanted to get rid of this mountain of work, and it's bigger than ever, and it looks impossible, and it's more complicated than it ever has gotten. I just got all emotional, and, you know, I have an emotional IQ at this point of about 1, but it's growing. And he just said something very simple. He said, well, you know, why don't you just forget about that? He said, I'm not anxious about that pile. Why should you be? Why don't you just come spend time with me first and see what I'll do with the pile? Duh. So day number 8, I get up early, have communion, go into the presence of the Lord, and woohoo, woohoo. That was the beginning of a big visitation every single day till the 30th of December. Every day. Downloads like you wouldn't believe. And then finally, a number of days later, I decided to look at the pile. It was easy. I didn't need to be anxious about that pile. There was nothing life-threatening in it anyways. There never usually is. Amen. I just found my joy in the presence of the Lord. I found my peace in His presence.
You have the power to create. Patricia King's book, Create Your World, shows you how to create, change, and improve your life with these God-given principles. Order today, and Patricia will also send you her 5-CD teaching and study guide, all for only $30 plus shipping. Call 866-980-5464. Ask for television offer 324. Go online at patriciaking.com or text the word BLESS to 42828. Order now.
One of our greatest events of the year is Women on the Front Lines Extreme.
When you see something that needs change, will you be possessed with my love? The kingdom I'm from cannot be shaken.
Ambassadors of hope of this generation.
You are the answer to the groaning of creation. When I was in a visitation, the Lord gave me the scripture. He said, I'm going to give you a key that if you will live inside of this promise, if you'll live inside of this word, that even if it was just this one word you lived inside of, you would have a successful, happy life. Just this one word. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. It means to be exceedingly glad, and you can do that by choice. Even if you're in a place right now where you say, I've got nothing to rejoice over, you can rejoice in Him. You've got everything to rejoice about because if you know Him, to be exceedingly glad in Him. And the moment you turn your mind towards Him and rejoice in Him, everything changes because He takes that place of enthronement and brings everything into right order. And some of you, you just need to leave the pile of garbage and rejoice in Him. Amen. You can take care of the garbage later. Rejoice in the Lord always, not just when times are going good, always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known unto all men. Let your spirit that is at rest be known to all men. The Lord is near. Do you believe that? Not only are you seated in the heavenlies, he's inside of you. The Holy Spirit is with you. He's in you. He's on you. Oh my gosh. And then he says this, be anxious for what?
Nothing.
Be anxious for nothing. You don't have to be anxious about anything at all, because God is good. And I've learned that when you look into the goodness of God, when you focus on the goodness of God, and everything about him is good. When you look at his purity, it is so good. When you look at his righteousness, it is so good. When you look at his justice, it is so good. When you look at his kindness, it is so good. When you look at his grace, it is so good. When you look at the goodness of God, everything changes. There's no place for anxiety when you're looking at the goodness of God. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. He tells you what to do. Simple. Just pray. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, just let your requests be made known to God. Remember, make them known to him with thanksgiving, not with, oh God, things are so heavy on planet Earth. Oh, my situation is so impossible. Oh God. It's making requests according to his word with thanksgiving in your heart. Because when you have thanksgiving, you're believing that you already have the answer to what you're asking. That's what thanksgiving. You thank someone because you believe they're giving it to you. If James said to me right now, Patricia, I'm going to cut you a check for $1,000. And I knew that he's a man of good character. And he's... you know, not a man that would promise something that he wouldn't give, I would say thank you. Why? Because I believe him. Now, if I doubted his character, then I would say, James, come on. I don't believe a word of it. I'll thank you when I get the check. Right? You see the difference? How many times do we do that to God and say, well, I know you promised it in your word, but, you know, when I see it, I'll believe it. When it comes through, I'll thank you, maybe, if I remember. But he says, no, you thank him with your prayers. You make your prayers with the thanksgiving. Why? Because you believe God is good. You trust him. He is a holy God. He is a righteous God. If he promised, he'll make it good. He's not a man that he should lie. Woo, it's so simple. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God. This is the equivalent to the Hebrew shalom. It's like the fullness of God's peace, his complete well-being and rest and salvation and everything that you need. The peace of God, which surpasses all your understanding, the natural mind, surpasses your comprehension. It'll guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It'll keep you in Christ Jesus. And then verse 8, I love it. Finally, brethren, whatever is true. And there's a difference between what's true and what is a fact. The truth is eternal. The facts are temporal. You might have to deal with some facts, but live in the eternal realm. Live in the truth realm. Everything, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. In other words, you'll experience that atmosphere of heaven. Simple instruction. Very, very simple. Anyone can follow it. It's easy. And it's all about the goodness of God, believing in the goodness of God and being anxious for nothing. There is grace for every moment that you live, and you can experience the joy of the Lord in everything that pertains to your life, no matter how difficult it might look. You can catapult into supernatural encounter by remembering the atmosphere of heaven's laughter. The Lord sits in the heavens and laughs. And you can too. In this season, the Lord is going to have the enemy in derision. That means in laughing stocks. You know those things where they put the head inside and put the little hands and they were like this? Huh? Laughing stocks. The enemy's going to be in laughing stocks. Whatever you're facing right now, the Lord has the enemy in derision. He's just what God is going to do in your life is going to cause you to have great joy. Amen? And if you believe it, and if you will return to this, you know, I have to remind myself all the time. You know, I slip, do you? Do you slip into anxiety sometimes, or fear, or doubt, or unbelief? Do you have unbelief words coming out of you sometimes, and then you catch yourself and you think, oh man, what did I just say? You know, we need to decree the glories of heaven. We need to have expectation for the glories of heaven. Are there going to be dark days coming? Yes. We're already in a lot of dark days. Don't focus on the darkness. Don't focus on it. Are there going to be tragedies? Are there going to be wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, natural disasters? Are there going to be? The Bible says they are. They're going to happen. But they're ultimately for good. They're ultimately for good. See, Jesus isn't coming back for a church that's bawling and squalling and hiding out in caves and eating tribulation food. He's not. He's coming back for a glorious church, a church full of glory, a church full of victory. He's coming back for a church that's full of the testimony of the goodness of the Lord. That's the realm we live in. It's the realm we live in. And we're going to learn so much about God's goodness in these coming days. And anything that's adverse that comes into our life, it's just simply the opportunity through our faith to lay hold of the goodness of God that transcends everything else. Amen? Getting anything out of this right now? Hallelujah. I had a woman, oh, it's such a precious woman. Oh my gosh, she loves the Lord so much. A powerful intercessor. But she had come under some weight in her mind, and she said, Patricia, I can't even go to church anymore. I says, you can't go to church anymore? Why not? Well, because they're just not in sync with God. Everywhere I look, people are just wayward in their hearts. Everywhere I look, you know, they're going through the motions, but they're not really close to Him. And, you know, there's sin in the church. And I said, well, then you should go. That's where you should be. Because you can bring your light into the darkness. She said, yeah, but it pains me. I'm in remorse all the time. I said, why are you in remorse? She says, because people aren't serving God. I said, no, don't you understand? That's your opportunity to walk in like a victorious warrior and say, I'm in love with Jesus. I am so flipped out, excited about my life with God. He is so good. I've got a testimony to share of what He just did for me last week. And, you know, I want to share how good He is. And I said, who's going to want to stay in sin and darkness and complacency when they find out that there's a better well to drink from? And I said, God is not anxious about His wayward church. Because He sees the end. We're all coming through. And if we're going to intercede, don't intercede with a big burden where, oh, it's so heavy. Everything's so heavy. Everything's so bad. It doesn't help. It doesn't birth anything except more trouble. Of course you're to discern where there's trouble. Oh, the church needs help. Good. Go help. The church needs prayer. Go pray. Speak resurrection into it. It's a great opportunity. You'll get another testimony in your arsenal.
You have the power to create. Patricia King's book, Create Your World, shows you how to create, change, and improve your life with these God-given principles. Order today, and Patricia will also send you her 5-CD teaching and study guide, all for only $30 plus shipping. Call 866-980-5464, ask for television offer 324, go online at patriciaking.com, or text the word BLESS to 42828. Order now.
One of our greatest events of the year is Women on the Front Lines Extreme.
When you see something that needs change, will you be possessed with my love? The kingdom I'm from cannot be shaken.
Ambassadors of hope of this generation.
You are the answer. to the groaning of creation.
Well, I trust that you really enjoyed today's message. I know that God has good things for you, and He's a miracle-working God. And some of you need a miracle right now. You need a miracle shift. And the keys that you've learned in this message are going to help you tremendously. You know, God has called us to create with Him. And with intentionality, we can create realms and atmospheres. The world that you are now living, the environment that you're living in, for the most part, you created. You see, we can react to situations, and when we do in a negative way, we actually create a negative environment, a negative life. If a negative circumstance does come your way and you take hold of the victory of Jesus Christ, you will actually, through your reaction of faith, create God's realm in the midst of the disaster. And so that's why it works together for good. You actually are able to create heaven on earth with intentionality when you partner with God. The scripture says the heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth belongs to the sons of men. Therefore, God has given it into our power to partner with Him. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 16. He said, whatever you bind on the earth will have been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose in the earth shall have been loosed in heaven. In other words, when you look at what Jesus accomplished on the cross, what He finished there, if that is finished in heaven, then you have the authority then in Christ Jesus to release it into the earth. So if it's been bound by Jesus in heaven through the finished work of the cross, you can bind it in the earth. And when you do, heaven will back you up. God is waiting for you to do something in the earth. You don't have to just sit back and let the devil beat you up. You can actually rise up with the power and the authority of God's words through the promise that was given to you through the finished work of the cross. And you can just drive the enemy right out of his place. In fact, what I've been doing recently with God, and He's been teaching me how to do this more and more, is that where there's darkness, just release more light. Don't even focus on the darkness. Where the enemy comes in like a fly, don't focus on him, but focus on the King of Glory going out and executing justice and righteousness. And I find that whatever I focus on, that's what I empower. So if I focus on what God has given me to release into the earth and His greatness and His awesomeness, that in my partnership with Him, I create victory after victory after victory. I create actually the manifestation of the promise through my faith. Now, I want you to really understand this concept. The Bible is full of keys. In my book, Create Your World, I share 12 keys that the scripture gives on how to create with God. Things that He teaches very clearly on that we can partner with Him on. Now, I want to ask you, in your life right now, let's say that you had spiritual lack. If you could have spiritual abundance, would you be interested in that? If you could be overflowing in the grace of God, overflowing in anointing, overflowing in empowerment to preach the gospel, overflowing in healing anointing, would you like that kind of abundance pouring out through your life? What about financial areas? Would you be willing to go for the blessing of the word that says that you can have all your needs met according to His riches and glory? Or would you prefer to live under the attack of lack and poverty? You see, the choice is up to you. What do you desire? And if you determine what you desire, you can actually create that realm by walking with Holy Spirit, by taking His hand. See, there's nothing in this life worth being anxious about. Why? Because it'll all work together for good for you. You will be able to rise up in the fullness of His power and blessing and might when you take hold of His hand and create your world with Him. I thank you for joining me on today's program. I declare over you that things are shifting, that miracles are taking place for you, and that all that anxiety, the stress, the depression, the hopelessness, the despair is lifting off of you right now, and that you are being released into the joy of the Lord. God bless you, and remember this, as that He loves you with an everlasting love. He really does, and so do we. We'll see you next time, and you might want to visit my Facebook page, my website, because I would love to continue and build relationship with you.